Hey, it's Paul Bainis with GreatDad.com, and I am here again in my weekly series talking to dads, young and old, and about different subjects. And, we've talked about a whole range of things, and we have talked a little bit about health and mental health issues. And one thing that we haven't done a lot of work on is talking about autism. So I have a specialist on autism here today, Quentin Mezitin. Nice to meet you, Quentin.
Nice to meet you too, Paul. Love what you do.
So you've got a website and a kind of a foundation that's called I Am Dads, not I Am Dad, but I Am Dads, which is DAD is an acronym in this case for Defeating Autism Daily. And why don't you tell a little bit about how you came to start working in this really important area?
Oh man. So I took a different approach. So I'm gonna admit I had no clue what autism really was. I knew it was a special need that some people dealt with it. And growing up, I just thought that was just, maybe somebody who's wearing a helmet or somebody that needs help holding hand as an adult. And that was just my idea. Never had no family members that were really telling me that they had that. So having five children total, starting young, I had my two daughters at 19 and 20 years old. And then I had my firstborn son at 23. So my wife and I, we see the milestones. Everything's going good. Life is hard. We're young parents, but our kids are developing as they should, following milestones, eating, walking, talking. So then at 30 and 31, my wife had baby fever. So now she wants to have, and I'm like, we're doing good with three. Come on. We're starting to get the hang of this, finally. And then I said, okay, I gave in. So all of a sudden we had number four, Quintus, our fourth son. And then before we could go back to start thinking of an IUD or some way to not have any more, she was pregnant again and oh, Quinn boy. Came. So Quinn was like, you're not going to leave me in here. So Quintus and Quinn, 30 and 31, they were growing just like the others. And then all of a sudden we started to notice that they were regressing and plateauing around 2 years old. So I'm just Googling like every other parent. I'm just online like, why is my son not eating and choking on everything? Why is my son not talking? Why is my son not responding to his name? I'm just looking up, going on Reddit, YouTube. And then I find all these other parents with similar children going through the same different symptoms. So I never wanted to accept autism. But then I see all these symptoms that I had with people who said now they had autism. So as a father, I'm looking at all my family and all my kids, and I'm like, autism, lifelong cognitive delays. Lifelong means that I will never get to retire and leave my kids. My goal is like, I want my kids to grow, to live independent lives so I can still live the best life with my wife and I. But now if they have a condition that's lifelong, I got scared. I got depressed. I got worried. I was confused. There's so much information everywhere. People blaming this, blaming that, blaming this. And I'm like, listen, I just want solutions. How can I get my sons to speak? How can I get my sons to know who they are? How can I get them to become independent? So I Am Defeating Autism Daily was my fight, as I wanted to defeat all the low expectations and limitations that were put on my children because of this diagnosis.
Okay. So first of all, is that a usual age where parents start to realize that there's a problem? Because I've heard, maybe this is more Asperger's related, but that some dads I've talked to is like almost that, almost at birth, they were able to see that there was a challenge. But for you, it was around 2 years old.
Yes. So some things, some people have been able to notice things from like before contraception. Like not even before contraception, before birth, like when you're going through, and Asperger's sometimes, I think Down syndrome, but autism, because it's cognitive delayed, it's like you don't know until the milestones stop being reached. So it's not like you look autistic, you're just looking normal. And it's just like, wait a minute, why aren't you picking up these like independent strides vocationally, just like normal? We're showing you this. Why isn't this catching on? Why aren't you paying attention to your name? So the things that most of us just take for granted, that our kids just got this. We got the potty. Right. They figured it out. Now it's like kids on the spectrum are just, they're different. They're not less. So they need a different way of raising them, a different solution to their sensory issues. So it just opens up the mind that's already so complex from parenting into this whole new realm of understanding of like, this is what my child needs. because they see the world differently from where they are.
And they can be in a whole spectrum. I mean, I would imagine that there's severe cases of autism all the way through really fairly mild cases.
Yeah. So severe, I like the systems that just use severe, moderate, and high functional.
Mm-hmm.
It's because some people try to implement others, but it's already confusing. It's already a pool of so many things that I like to just make it as simple as possible. So when my children weren't speaking, they're nonverbal, I focused all my attention on getting their voice back. What speech therapist has helped children get from nonverbal to verbal? And if a speech therapist told me they did that, I went to them. If somebody told me, oh, I never seen that, but I helped them with sign language and stuff, that's cool. I need somebody that could do all of the above. And then when my kids need help eating, which occupational therapists have had success with that? So I go for the where the success leaves clues into what exactly my child was needing help and support with. And that has helped me get better results. So I even, you know, do that for everything, for my other kids too.
Is that a warning sign to other parents, or is that a something that you learned along the way that don't give up, don't talk to the first expert who says, oh, they'll never speak, so we just have to go immediately to sign language? I mean, is that one of the learnings that you had is that you have to kind of challenge the assumptions that are kind of built into the system of how much is possible?
Yes. So that's why I go really hard with don't give up on your children. Don't accept the limitations and the low expectations. The limitations and the low expectations that I got were not from me. Those were from some doctors. Those were from some therapists, from teachers, principals, telling me that I should just pray about it, telling me that I should look into putting my kids into a home, that I should look into these other like high doses of lethargic medication just to kind of make them sleep all day just so they're not, you know, up and hyper. And I'm just listening, and it's weird because they're coming to me with love, with understanding in their own realm, but that's not helping me because you're telling me that I should give up, that I should just accept where they are. Hey, my son doesn't know his name, but I still love him, so let me just accept it. I want my son to know his name. So I'm going to see who online can help me get that communication barrier broken, that I could communicate with my son, instead of somebody who's going to tell me that there's nothing that's going to happen. Because if nothing happens, and let's say he's 18, and right. Now he's 18 years old with all these delays, that's going to be so much harder. And I would beat myself up knowing that I didn't even try solutions that were out there and I got there. I'd rather, even if he gets there and he's still like that, I've tried everything that I could, no stone left unturned. I did my best, and we're still fighting even 20s, 30s.
Well, I'm amazed at that kind of that dedication and how much you put into this, given the fact that everybody's telling you the contrary. But I guess my question would be, how did you know? I mean, you're not an expert. You're not an educational expert. You're not a therapist. You didn't come back with all that background. How did you know to challenge all these people who are, you know, they have degrees and they've studied this. They told you, hey, give up hope now. Just do the best you can to create some sort of safety, I'm sure, and, you know, environment that they won't hurt themselves or you or whatever. And how did you know to do what you've done and to stay at it?
I would say mindset. I started just developing my mindset with the three children and my wife, because we already didn't have, like, I've been told that since I had my first child at 19, that I was a failure, that I messed up. Like, you dropping out of school to go to work because you got your girlfriend at the time pregnant, you're totally going to be a statistic. And this was from some family members. And so I assume other people felt like that, but I had family, you know, they'll tell you the honest truth. So it was even at times where my family member gave me money to have an abortion to try to help me, because they was like, don't do it. I use that money for my phone bill, but I understood where they were coming from, thinking that I wasn't ready. And then even telling me, like, man, you already have a child. Why don't you see about putting your other child up for adoption? Because that's going to be way too much stress and overwhelming. You don't got a good career yet and all these things. So I've been told that I was the black sheep in some areas, and I've been let down saying that, you know what, Quinn, you're going to fail. So I've been trying to prove them wrong. But when I look in the mirror, sometimes they're right, and I'm trying to just prove them wrong by just telling myself that it's only us. So my wife and I, she's like the biggest support system. We just always kind of took on that pressure that I worked nights, she worked days, because we didn't have enough for like babysitters and stuff.
All right.
And we just did it where I just said, you know what? No one wants their child to have any disability. So it was nothing we signed up for. But when it happened, I just needed to find one person that said that their child was like nonverbal, cognitively delayed, or anything. And they got them to the brighter side of the spectrum, high functional. And now I want to know, how'd you do it? And I started finding doctors that were getting solutions, therapists, doctors, naturopathic, herbalistic, and behavioral therapists and occupational and neurologists. So I found people within the same people that told me things that were limiting and low and had low expectations to find me the same fields of people that had higher expectations. And they helped me personally, mentally, emotionally fight off the people that were telling me one side of the spectrum that there was a brighter side. And then it went from, hey, your son might not speak now, but I had a student just like yours. And 3 years later, around 7, they won't shut up. And I was like, where do I start with you? And my sons now are, they're not nonverbal. They are speaking. They're telling us, they're communicating. They know their name. They're independent in the bathroom. And that was a year, 2 years later than normal children. But I got there. They used to hate sensitive to their haircuts and stuff because of the vibration, the noise, things we take for granted sometimes. They're asking to, Daddy, can I get a haircut with you? So now it's a moment that we get to share because of the hundreds of times that they were crying and fighting me in the chair and moving and I'm holding them, I'm getting hair on me. It went through struggle, but I wanted to always be consistent. And I feel like mindset is the key where I try to help parents the most. Just like you got to believe that it's possible. And then advocate and fight for them as much as you can. But stealing hope from other people's belief is what I use until I could build it within myself.
Yeah, well, there's a lot in what you just talked about. I think that whole part of the low expectations and fighting that off is such a key thing in just a lot of situations. And with kids, setting expectations, I mean, not hitting them over the head when they don't meet them, but having those expectations that we are going to get through this, you are going to do better, we are going to fight whatever it is and get better is so different than saying, lie down, we're just going to accept it as it is. So like a follow-up question though, because I'm still really curious, because you obviously went against the grain and everybody was saying, you could have given up many times here. How did you avoid like the snake oil salesmen who I'm sure were there telling you, oh, if you just take this pill or you just fly down to Mexico and eat this herb or something, everything will be fixed. I'm sure there was a lot of that versus the people who were data-based and could give you more than just hope. They could give you hope based on experience and research.
That is so funny you said that. It's like when you start Googling things, then
you're right,
everything comes up. So that's the part where I wanted to create this community. And that's what I Am Dad is. It's a community because when you start digging, you're going to get all these distractions. So I started looking up and it made me educate myself. I had to start looking up these ingredients, trying to see what different people are saying. So naturopathic doctors gave me some natural solutions. But there's many different naturopathic doctors that believe in different solutions. So I had to look into all of them. Ask this one, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And I'm comparing and contrasting doctors, medical doctors, with what I'm looking at, and naturopathic and herbalist. So I'm not just going to give my kids everything. But I did try out a lot of things, especially in the natural way, where if it can't hurt and I could see what it's doing and I could confirm it with different sources, why not? They ended up making myself and my whole family healthier because we found out things that we can do here in the Northeast that could help us not be so like sick during the winter. And this is like, we started taking care of our health, our skin, it's so funny. We did so much research for Quintus and Quinn that we ended up changing so much of our whole, like refrigerator, what we eat, how we eat, and our vitamin intake. So it's funny because it can't hurt. But it is a lot of stuff out there. And I always just would say, do your research and ask questions. If they say get a second opinion, that just meant the first one was an opinion. So be open to like not accepting the first thing and challenging everything, because we only get one shot at this. Like, I never want to just, if somebody said, hey, this works, one solution was hemp oil, like CBD.
Oh, yeah, CBD.
That was big of something that can help children on the spectrum. So I did more research and a lot of research, and I found doctors that can specifically advocate how much I can give my child, what brand to get, because not all brands are the same, to see how it could work with my child. It did help.
Yeah.
It was expensive compared to like the cheaper brands, but some people would take something that has worked in one or two places with hundreds of doctors. It was in Texas. They were even on the news showing the results. But then they'll find a cheaper version here in New York,
yeah,
and just be
yeah.
like, well, let me just give my child this. And it's like,
yeah.
You got to do your research, see where it's coming from, see how it's made, see how much the dosage is, because it does. You don't want to mess up somewhere like that, and because that's not cool.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah, well, that's really good advice, especially if you're in the situation. You know, there are other conditions like Lyme disease too, where people are fighting every day against all this medical information and everybody saying you can't fix it, and they're still like struggling all the time. Out here in California, I've lived in the Northeast, and in California, we have a lot of clinics that are integrative medicine, where you can go everything, anywhere from acupuncture to herbs to vitamins to other types of treatments. And if you're in a situation like this, I would think that would be the kind of approach you have to have, is kind of this holistic approach where you're not going on the shopping network finding some cure, but you're talking to experts who are regarded enough within the scientific community that they belong to, you know, that they're accepted and they're licensed and they know what they're doing, even if some of it is a long shot.
Exactly. You have to, like, we all want the, if you watch Dragon Ball Z, we all want the Senzu bean. We all want the little thing that's just going to heal us and just be like, oh, we wake up better. But it's just like there's wishful thinking. And I try not to stay there, because that could just delay the progress so much. So we should always do our research. Because when I look at my sons, I always just think that, you know, they know the fight that I'm fighting. They just can't express it. And they're telling me they love me and they appreciate me even when they don't. And when they're going through a tantrum and I'm helping them get out of it, or different things that I'm learning and teaching my other children and my wife, I'm like, I go for understanding, because I'm like, listen, no one is going to love them as much as us. So we need to do our best as a family to help them through what they're going through, change their learning systems, change the way we respond to them, see the way that they see the world and how we can make adjustments for us all. And it's just a learning experience. I'm never going to be done. But it's just like, I want them, my goal is for them to become independent, where they can now get an independent job, have their own relationship. Get my kids get married and have a career. I'm done. You win. That to get to that mindset, to get married is already hard. But it's like to get just to that mindset of graduating high school and being able to hold a job. I feel like that part of the spectrum, independently drive a car, it's like everything else is just, you know, extra.
Well, I wonder, if I talked to you five years ago, would you have had this optimism? You look like, you seem like the type of person who is generally optimistic and looking on the bright side, looking for the hope, looking for the future. Has this changed you in terms of?
Now, I would say my practice was my first children. My first children. So you would have to go, I'm 38 now. So you would have to go and take me back to early 20s with the two children going into the third. I was way more stressed, overwhelmed, having high anxiety, because I put my kids first and I'm trying to just, I got to be there for the kids. I still got to work on my relationship with my girlfriend, now wife, and we're just young and so many distractions, so many stuff, not understanding money and time and horrible credit, everything. So it's like, life is what you create and what you allow. It was a workshop that my grandmother just had in her like basement. I was helping her clean. And I was just like, what's this tape? And I put it in, and it was a DVD of Boundaries, Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend, that workshop they did. And it was about a book called Boundaries. And the one thing they kept saying, life is what you create and what you allow. And I really started embodying that, creating these boundaries as in, you know what? Why am I allowing my life to look like this? Why am I allowing my relationship to be like this? And what can I create to change it? So it's kind of like when I hit a wall, I always think, how did I allow this to happen? And what do I need to create to get my power back? And once I started doing that with the three kids, raising them, going through schools, and then growing, and things are started working, it became like a habit. It is a habit. It just became my like new identity. So by the time these last two children came, it was still stressful, still embarrassing, still hurting, depressing. It still put me through that, but I was able to get out of it so much faster and be who I needed to be before it was a ripple effect that they would now be a result of me not knowing who I am. So my identity has become this more solution-based mindset, optimistic, but then hardworking, disciplined, because that's what's worked for me in other ways. So they kind of came out at that time. If these most parents of children with autism, when it's their first child, they don't try to have any more. They don't want to take the risk. And I understand that, because if that was my first one or two, my wife and I would have a different conversation about, you know, what contraceptives we're going to use and how. But being that it was four and five, it made me look at it like, okay, maybe it's not why me, but maybe it had to be me to create I Am Dad and to do my research to help other parents to get their children from one side of severe to the high functioning superpower side, where they could be amazing, awesome human beings in this world contributing to life.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you faced your share of adversity in life and managed to overcome in several cases. So it's a heartwarming story. And I think your two sons are really lucky to have you in their corner.
Thank you.
So to wrapping up here a little bit, tell a little bit about I Am Dad. So it's I Am Dads with an S on the end, even though it's I Am Dad.
Yeah.
And on that website, you can join the community and have that network of support of what other people are finding out and how they're dealing with it. And I'm sure there are ups and downs for everybody on this journey, their bad days and successes.
Yeah, so I Am Dad. So it's interesting. So I Am Dad is the business, correct? It is the organization. I Am Dads is just because no one wanted to. The person who owns IamDad.com did not want to sell it to me. And we've been fighting for years and he would not budge. So I said, I'm going to just get it with an S until he or she budges. So that's where the S comes from, which we could throw in for strategy, solutions. But it's just like we can work on that. But I Am Dad is, you know, it's the whole setup. So my children are 8 and 7 now, so they're still in elementary. So I do talk to people in junior high school and high school where that transition, the goals and things and obstacles they face are different. So I always have to learn the whole level of what my kids are going to expect. But I give a lot of, hey, this is what I'm doing now. And this can still help teens and adults. However, I Am Dad is that community where you just feel heard, accepted, but also pointing you in the direction of solutions and tools that have worked for others, and here's how it could work for you. And then partnering with these same naturopathic, herbalists, medical doctors, neurologists, to now give people that extra support that they need, easier to get to. So this is not your therapist or your neurologist. It can be, depending on where you're located and all that stuff, but this could be somebody that could just tell you what to ask your doctor, what you should look for, knowing that these services are here in New York. They're most likely in your state. They're just called something else. So I just tried to do and create what I needed that I had to go everywhere for into one place. And so I don't have to ask too many questions. It's like if I only had a couple of herbalists that were really good in their field, it's easier for me to get an answer than, let me go on Instagram. Let me go on TikTok. Let me go on Google.
Yeah, and you're talking to other parents who have real life experience rather than somebody who's trying to sell you a solution may or not work, which is fantastic. Part of the mission, too, is to try to fight against the, I don't know if it's the discrimination or it's the low expectations. It's trying to change the attitude about what is possible and not just say, oh, they're autistic, put them in the corner and then forget about them. Is that really what it is?
Yes, because it is. And one of the fears that a lot of us parents were really sparked me was it was one of these really high profile autistic pages. And it had a post saying, parents want their children to die before them so they don't have to go through this world alone.
Oh.
And
Yeah, that's.
On the understanding side, I get it. You're
Yeah.
right. It's just like, because no one is going to love this child as much as you. And if it's already
Yeah.
so much harder for you, why would somebody else treat them or be patient or loving as you would? But what I saw in the comments where everybody was agreeing, hearting, hundreds of thousands of likes. And I took that and I was just like, why are all these people accepting this? These are the people who gave up, who are just liking and saying, okay, that's my prayer. If I already prayed this prayer, then that means I gave up. And there are theories, if you don't believe in yourself or believe in the possibilities, you're not going to get it. You got to believe in it first. So now I started looking like, if I need to create something, I need to create something to help parents get that hope back, to empower them not to give up, to see that there's a brighter side, because the world online and people will tell you that there isn't. And then once you give up, your child automatically can't, like, they need you, but they give up as well. So because of that, I just said, you know what? If I need to do something to open the eyes of people, open the hearts, the minds of parents, the parents are the cure for the children. Children can't do it themselves. We got to do it. And sometimes that's stepping out of our comfort zone. The people that look like me were telling me the worst things in the beginning, that I live in Queens. And my doctors and therapists are 45 minutes away from me, 30 minutes away from me, into communities where they were listening to me more. And I realized that when you're in the spectrum, when you're a parent of a child with autism, you don't care where the results come from.
Right.
We don't talk about religion, political beliefs, beliefs, gender,
You want
races.
solutions, yeah.
We're just like, we don't care what is going to help my child talk, what is going to help my child work and use the bathroom. And I found that I wanted to bring those solutions into my community because my community was suffering the most in quiet desperation from what I can see and hear. And I was just like, but you got to step out. You can't be limited. If they're not helping us here, then you need to go to the other side of town. You need to go to other boroughs. You need to go where you can find the help, and don't care how it looks. And if you need a translator, get a translator, but you do anything you can because we only get one chance. And that's what I did a lot.
Well,
I still do.
I really, it's a really an amazing story. And the proof is in the success that you've had with two boys who were told, you were told would not be able to do a lot of things that you have. And I really wish you continued success with them and with this journey, because helping all these parents, it's gotta be really lonely when you're in this situation, especially if you're telling, if you're being told things you don't want to hear. And it's hard for anybody to judge what is the best solution in those situations. Until you're given this challenge, you don't know how you react. And it's great to have role models like you who've been able to figure out a way around it and do positive things. I like to wind these up with three questions. We talked a little bit before the show. The first one is whether you had a mantra or a saying that kind of kept you going through obviously some rough and stressful times. Maybe you could share that with us.
The mantra is what I stand by. It goes into each other. Everything is a choice. And life is what you create and what you allow. And it just helps me relook and reevaluate everything to put us back in the driver's seat of it and not in the passenger seat.
That's a great motto to live by. If it keeps you going, that's wonderful. The second one is whether you have any piece of wisdom that you could impart to, you know, to young dads or young dads who are struggling with any kind of challenge like this, what you would say to them.
The best thing that I've seen, even as early as last night, going through an issue with my children, was always remember that we love each other. And instead of fighting to be right, seek understanding. It's like, it's better to understand where somebody's coming from, what they said, and how they perceived what you were saying, because it's a win world. But let's seek understanding instead of trying to be right.
Yeah. And then maybe that probably leads into the challenge for the week. If you have a challenge for dads, what's one thing they could keep top of mind that as they go into the week and within their family?
Well, yeah, that does tie into seek understanding. But if I want to add something new, think of something that you could do, whether you have children, wife, or you want to do it as a family or separate. What is something that would be creative that you haven't done before? You don't got to spend money, that no one would expect. I love to surprise my family were just doing something out of the norm. They're like, Dad, you do that? My wife's like, where'd you learn to do that? Why do you like that? Eat something different that's weird and strange and healthy, whatever, or do something, go somewhere, do something different, watch a crazy movie, or do something that's just out of your norm and surprise everybody and see how they take it.
I love that's great. I mean, they say that's great for couples, is to do something completely different, and it gives you something new to talk about and new experience to have. And with kids, they're always excited. They're always, up to a certain age, they're game for almost everything. So whether it's bowling or kite flying, or if you're in New York City, there's plenty of free stuff to do that just amazes and delights kids. So you're in a lucky space. Well, Quentin, it's really been a pleasure spending some time with you. You can, if you're interested, you can go to iamdads.com to get more information. And I, you know, if you are concerned that your child has some of these symptoms, it's best to be prepared earlier than later, I'm sure. And you can get some of those resources on I Am Dads. Okay. So paulbanisthegreatdad.com. I have a course on gratitude that I like to offer up because we do 50% off for podcast listeners. You can go to greatdad.com/gratitude and enter the code podcast50. And I believe gratitude is one of the key things that keeps everybody motivated and optimistic. So until next time, stay close to your kids. Love them as much as you can. The best thing you can do is just to be there.